So we are trying to have the archives up throughout the week, and this series shall be up also. So I want to say hello to all our friends. Listen, if you want to, you can email me at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net during the live show, and get comments in or questions in if you'd like to. We appreciate many of you that email otherwise. And when emails come in later on, just so you know, we've got hundreds. And we try to get back to everybody we can. And so we're going to try to, but sometimes we just simply, on a human scale, cannot respond to everything. So not because we don't care, it's simply because we can't, based on time, based on human limitations. But listen, may God bless and meet your needs today. I don't know if you've had time to spend before God today or where you're at. I know that the many thousands of listeners come from many different backgrounds. And so I pray that this will be, and I always believe that this hour that we're on is a supernatural hour, that there's divine appointment, that there's engagement, and that maybe if you're listening and you think it's by chance, let me suggest that it may be by design, and that God, who is infinite yet personal and relational, the one that's been seeking you, searching for you, does love you. And I don't know of anybody else that wants you more. I don't know of anybody else that wants you more than God does. If you really read the gospel and you read about God coming here in human flesh, and you read about all that the Lord, you know, Jesus Christ has done, and the cross, and you understand, as Jesus says, that he did not come to be served or ministered to, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came looking for you, and by the Spirit of God, he's looking for you now if you don't know him. Now, for all of you who do, I'm so glad that many of you are very, very up on, there's a lot of conspiracy, a lot of issues. But I'm going to tell you that there's a real, absolutely real conspiracy that is deep in the hearts and the minds of the leadership of the world around us. Presidents, prime ministers, kings, and military leaders. And then it comes down to nations that are influenced. Then it comes down to the masses of people. 3,000 years ago, God spoke, and these are living words out of Psalm chapter 2, when God speaks out to confront political, military leaders, the kings of the earth, the nations that are represented, and the peoples. And God simply speaks out asking, you know, why? I mean, there's a conspiracy or conspiring. It involves kind of a passionate rage. But if you notice that Psalm chapter 2, in its reference to how the kings of the earth, the nations and the peoples, well, they're eventually gathering together to take their stand against God. Now, again, this is amazing, to take their stand against God. This is a 3,000-year-old prophecy. The fulfillment of it is actually seen in future prophecy. Now, we can see it somewhat in the world today. There are kings of the earth that claim that, you know, there's no God but them. Nations as a whole, we don't see nations as a whole submitting, surrendering to the Creator, to the Redeemer. We don't see the masses of people. So we're seeing this, this drive. And every ounce of this drive that's described in Psalm chapter 2, its manifestation, its ultimate manifestation is taking their stand against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed, Christ. Now, when you look at Psalm 2, you're going to see that. You're going to see God speaking to the kings, to the nations, to the peoples. And That's why I'm saying that there's no doubt that he's speaking to you. To presidents and prime ministers and kings, government officials, military leaders. God describes you as the kings of the earth. God has a living message for you right now. Right out of Psalm chapter 2. From 3,000 years ago, God not only had spoken, and it's now inscripturated, it's grapha, it's the writings, but these are living words that speak, and it should be part of the prophetic evangelism of the church. That we can speak to nations, that we can speak to the peoples in mass. When we see the peoples in a critical mass, the nations and the kings of the earth, agreeing together to take a stand. Notice very clearly, it's against the Lord. It's against the Lord's Christ, the Anointed One. Against the Lord Jesus. Now, if you can take Psalm chapter 2, put your hand on Revelation 16, where the dragon, that's Satan in full force, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, where they release demonic powers in rich, it's kind of a spiritual planetary wave unleashed globally that strikes the kings, draws the people. This is the pinnacle of supernatural deception, leading. And where do they lead them? They lead the kings, the nations, the peoples to the great day of God Almighty, the day of Armageddon. See, a lot of the television shows and a lot of these things out there, when they talk Armageddon, Armageddon, they don't know what it means. Most people, and maybe you have in your mind, Armageddon's the final war, you know, when all of the world goes into a war against each other. And that's not true. Hold Revelation 16 and then go to Revelation 19. What is done in the future yet, when the spiritual power is released to activate and draw and bring the kings, the armies together. If you read Revelation 19:19, here's what it says. That the Antichrist, you know, he's going out onto the field, right around all of the Middle East right there. And I believe they'll have massive, you can think in terms of psi war, weaponry. You can think in terms of planetary defense weapons. You're now looking, when you're looking at Psalm 19:19, you're looking at the world's the pinnacle of military power, technology, might. The pinnacle of unity, all under a spirit. A presence. This military is a super soldier military. It is representative of the kings of the earth and the nations. That is Armageddon. And at Armageddon, when they're all gathered together there, the weapons are not pointed towards each other. The weapons are pointed out up into the skies. You got to read Revelation 19:19. Because military weapons makers right now, without knowing it, are being guided to develop the weapons that will be used in this future Armageddon. Final day, final war, final battle. In direct fulfillment to Psalm chapter 2. This spiritually driven, empowered, globalist world will have been guided and led in the pinnacle of supernatural powers. I mean, manifested powers. And my friends, as you're listening right now, I'm telling you, the future shows that Armageddon is the, whether it's millions of soldiers and all the technology and all the planetary defense weapons and all the psi war and all of their convergence spiritually, as there would be a sending out of every possible level of weaponry, of You could think in terms of chemical lasers. You could think in terms of all the things that are going to be unleashed up into the skies. It's all about blasting God out of the sky, blasting Christ out of the sky. I mean, can you see it there? Can you see, again, the absolute uniqueness of Psalm chapter 2, written 1,000 years before Christ, and since then it's been 2,000, that an ancient psalm is communicating even now to the kings, to the nations, to the peoples, maybe you right now, direct. Maybe you're sitting there in the UN in some back room listening on a laptop. Maybe somebody sent you the archive that you might listen to on a plane somewhere as you've downloaded into an iPod. Maybe it's out there in some mountain military base. Maybe it's on, you know, sitting on an Abrams tank. Maybe it's in a tent somewhere, wherever it may be. It's by divine providence. It is by incredible divine providence that God would encounter you and speak to you and bring warning to you, that you would not be drawn into the pinnacle of spiritual deception that would lead you to become Satan's fodder out onto the field, Armageddon. Who wants to be there, gathered at Armageddon? Because as Christ descends, as God descends, the creator of the universe, the redeemer of mankind, once dead, resurrected, ascended, glorified, promised in return. I mean, it's spoken about in the Old Testament progressively. Massively revealed in the New Testament. Did you think that the New Agers somehow did you think that Eckhart Tolle was correct, that Oprah Winfrey was correct when they said that Jesus is not returning? That the new earth and the new heaven is a concept in our minds, and that we basically are going to create it out of our own energies and over, you know, all of our, you know, out of our constantly reincarnated selves and evolutionary spiritual path, that somehow we're going to create it? Really? What's the authority for that? What's the basis for that? When did it ever occur? You see, that thinking is the first sentence of deception that the fallen cherub gave to humanity in the beginning. It's the very thing that brought the downfall of the human race, the sin code into us, and the death code that leads to total and eternal separation from God. And we can do all that we can to try to break the sin code, break the death code, break the hell code. And I think that New Age alternative counterfeit spirituality only brings a glazing over of the conscience, of the construct of our thinking, our understanding. After all, the scripture says that Satan, God of this eon, blinds the minds. You want to understand the father of mind control? You want to understand the one that literally shrouds us from seeing God? I would think that anybody would become upset, would become mad, become disturbed, if they realized that they have been shrouded, they have been blinded, they have been stolen, their sight, their perception has been stolen. The goal of the blinding is so that you can't see God. You can't see who Jesus is, who is the icon of God. He is the exact representation. The icon is the Greek word. He's the visible of the invisible. Philip said one time, "Show us the Father." Jesus looks and says, "Don't you know me? He broke Greek syntax here. I and the Father, we are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Thomas finally realized it later, and he bowed down and cried out, "My Lord and my God." Listen, since the children have flesh and blood, Hebrews chapter 2, may it grip you, may it seize you with compassion. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in our humanity. You know what he did? He came down here to taste death. Death didn't consume him. For those of you that have thought that Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce were somebody great, listen, blowing them out of the waters by prophecy that has been given by the infinite Spirit of God that has never failed, always on target, detailed. Psalm 16, 1,000 years before Jesus shows up, goes to the cross, and dies. There is a revelation of the promise of the resurrection of the Holy One, of Messiah. Not only did Jesus know it, as we read in the Gospels, not only did the angels come and visit, know it, discuss it with him, even in the Transfiguration about his departure, they knew it. They hadn't seen it yet, but they knew that it was coming. I mean, even Satan knew it. But listen, here we are, humanity, the sin code blinds. There is the God of this age, he blinds. The penetrating power is the Word of God. Listen, if you're sitting back saying, "Well, I'm not sure about all this, and I'm a spiritual questioner, and I'm a seeker," then if you're an honest seeker, open up the Gospels and begin to read. Read Matthew and begin to look in Matthew and see this incredible revelation constantly saying, it was written. It has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. It shows the fulfillment of prophecy of the birth, life, going to the death, the resurrection, all of it. Take a look at the Gospel of John. Read it deeply. I mean, open wide your heart and read it. Even throw out a prayer if you can and say, "God, show me yourself." Because I'm telling you right now, as many others have been telling you, that time is shorter and shorter. We can all feel it in the air. Chaos is around us. Everybody is predicting catastrophic events. Webbot, New Agers, Mayan prophecies, futurologists. There's a knowing, but then there's also, again, from the uncreated, eternal, infinite Spirit of God. Omniscient. And in the revelation given, and listen, if New Agers, you understand how you claim ascended masters guided Halina Blavatsky, guided Alice Bailey, guided David Spangler, guided the writers. If you've been listening to channelers or remote viewers like Courtney Brown, who's been going off into the ether and meeting alien beings and claiming that he met Jesus and got all kinds of communication from Jesus. That's right, Courtney Brown. I read the stories and read the stories, and I literally feel sorry for and feel bad for Courtney Brown. The reason why? Every ounce of the writings that I've read concerning him claiming meeting Jesus out there in a room, out there in the realms, this was not Christ. He's referring to a finite substitute. There are many. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, "Many will come in my name." Many. You know why he said that? Read Matthew 24. The reason that many would come claiming, you know, to be Christ, to try to be saying that they're Jesus, the very reason, if you read Matthew 24, is to deceive many. Who are these? Jesus predicted 2,000 years ago that many. When I read the story of Courtney Brown, remote viewer, listen, I read more of his background, read a lot of his predisposition, spiritual meditations, New Age spirits that were guiding him, his being led again, and eventually out to receive a body of information. Well, the encounters led him to believe that he was to write, that he was an emissary now. He was going to write about these revelations. And he did. And they're real, they're revelations, they're real, but they're lethally and deadly wrong. That's not the infinite Christ who died, shed his blood, rose from the dead, caused the earth to shake, destroyed the foundations of hell itself. That's not the Christ who embraced the totality of humanity and loved everyone as God in human flesh. That's not the Christ whom the angels called Emmanuel, God in human flesh. Come on. Are we nuts or what? Have we just gone crazy? Are we so willing to accept a substitute, little finite pocket Jesus? They can't walk, talk, or help us other than deceive us. Every ounce of the readings, and I'm sharing as a human being to others that I care about and love. I confess that I'm sharing compelled by the love of God. I know the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. I know that the Spirit of Christ lives in me. I know that He's alive, that He lives in me, that He's real, and I've walked with Him for 35 years. The same Christ in Scripture. That's the living Christ. Infinite Savior. But yet when I watch, as Courtney Brown and now many others that are beginning to claim they're meeting Jesus, and that they're being communicated that they can become Jesus. Here we go again. The very first line sentence out of the mouth of the fallen cherub with the goal of bringing deception to the human race was, chuck God, accept the new elitist, privileged, secretive knowledge, and you can evolve, you can become, you can. There's the idea of progression. Evolution to deification. It never occurred then among any forms where that doctrine has developed, not among the Gnostics, Hindus, Buddhists. Coming from a former practicing golden Buddha meditation in that temple, I was seeking spirituality. It was there. There is spirituality, but it's not all flowing down from God. There is an agenda to deceive. There is an agenda to seduce. There is an agenda. And that's what definitely concerns all of us who have given our hearts to Christ, receive the living Christ, and have the Spirit of God dwelling in. I keep asking New Agers and many others, do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Do you know personally, in joy, in relationship, in love, do you know the living Christ? Give me your testimony. What do you say? And the most individuals say is, God's out there. God's a force. God's an energy. I feel an energy. And I'm telling you, the confession of any single person worldwide, Russian, Chinese, Swahili, Brazilian, wherever you are in the world, whoever calls on the name of the living Christ who died on that cross, rose from the dead, as the prophets have said, as the Spirit of God has testified, as the elect angels of God acknowledged, as the demons trembled and feared, when you receive Him, have you received Him? One wonders why we go after finite spirituality, deceptive, that doesn't give you the internal, absolute assurance that you have the gift of eternal life. Here's what Jesus Christ promises: indestructible, immortality, and seeing God face to face. Outside of that, in all of my search and in all of those I've dealt with, There's a lot of finding of spiritual experiences, events, happenings, encounters that not only do not lead to Christ, to God, to the gift of eternal life, but, my friends, leads further and further and further away. You may have been drawn deep out into the dark ocean, of spiritual deception. Do you know how to even row back to the shores where God opens His arms wide? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. Christ comes in. Spiritual experience. Born of the Spirit of God. A new nature. A new power. From the inside, body, soul, and spirit is literally transformed. Christ Himself comes to live in you. And the Spirit of God deposits within the gift of eternal life. And you know that you know that you know. And all of the Word of God that is revealed. Now listen, as we talk about this, and let me say again for those who are turning in, maybe just tuning in a little bit late here, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And there's literally hundreds of hours of free MP3s and just tons of stuff that we can hopefully give to you to be a help. There's a conference coming up in Mansfield, Ohio, October 23rd, 24th, 25th even. We'll be speaking down there in the morning. And it's called Demolishing Strongholds. It deals with spiritual warfare. It deals with satanic ritual warfare and exposures of that. It deals with prayer mapping. It deals with learning your victory and learning your authority. And there'll be practical measures that we take during those Friday evening and Saturday sessions. There'll be also two others that'll be teaching, one on spiritual warfare basics, another on revival and literally what revival does to an area when God strikes. There's also a 31-day ablaze devotional series that's being done, to where you can go every single day and get the newest one, a 10 to 20-minute devotional word, a shot in the arm. As a believer in Christ, we need the encouragement, we need the Word of God, and we need to know that great change and new restoration and revival is not only possible, but I believe willed by God in His goodness for us. Even Sunday night in the two-hour live program, we're going to talk about the incredible dynamic change that can occur as we hear from God, as we respond to His Word, as God answers prayer, many things like that. So I want to encourage you to go to shatterthedarkness.net and check out all the things that are offered there. And also, remember that we're here live on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on 7 p.m., Steve Quayle's survivetothrive.net. And we encourage you to come and listen. Listen to also Romy and Hawk and the best of Steve Quayle on Friday nights that begin right after this show, by the way. Right now, we've been talking about the sin code that leads. Listen, there's a permeating, a driving from within that seems very natural to us as fallen humanity. It seems very natural, but it's not. It's considered the sin code. The Romans chapter 8 is where we've been going. The law of sin and death. A propensity. And I will say this, that it's... some people talk about genetics and the genotype, phenotype. The idea of genotype is instructions, inherited instructions that are deep within us that begin to come to the surface. Whether in physical traits or now they're saying even behavior. So I'm saying that the sin code permeates the whole structure, including genetics. animates the totality of the construct, our will, that affects everything. And so when you look in the world around you and see people do horrendous things, or people lie, or people have cheated you, or rejected you, or harmed you, you've got to understand a couple of things. Let me just mention three, okay? Number one, that nature, that fallen sin code nature in the heart and life of man. Well, number one, it's not normal. It's not what we are created with. We weren't made with that. Now, I don't know if you've read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 down before or not. If you begin to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and study that out wherever you're at, and take a look at the progression. It involves, again, the suppression of truth, the rejection and a propensity to reject the knowledge and presence of God. It involves that and then replacing what we were created to be and do with a whole new set of behavior. Now, in verse 21, it says this, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But in their thinking became futile, their foolish hearts were darkened." See the idea? Darkened. Darkened. Verse 23, here's what mankind did as a whole. "Exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, reptiles." For all the 2012ers and the Mayan, you know, those who are seeking Mayan spirituality, this here is a massive, massive declaration about the exchanging of the glory of the immortal God for images. Look at the images that look like mortal man, birds and animals and reptiles. That's right, reptiles. Reptilian worship, serpent worship. It talks about, again, this degrading of ourselves and our bodies. Did you know the sin code has everything to do with sexual deviation, sexual perversity, sexual addiction, sexual... I mean, we all know that sexuality can be misused. If you don't believe that, then I guess anything goes. Bestiality, necrophilia, all of it goes, correct? Well, not correct. We know that that we can clearly say, even though the new safety education czar of the United States been appointed by Barack Obama, even though he counseled a 15 or 16-year-old boy about his sexual relationship with a 40-year-old man, a book out called The Queering of Education, The Connection with Nambla. I mean, are Americans just going to sit back and allow this to occur? Here's what it says in verse 24, "Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity." Now there's God created sexuality to be great and a blessing and pleasure and procreation and part of the relationship, but it's been massively exploited to the point of addictions. It's like the train, instead of running on the track, it's been taken off the track and running into rocks. People can do every kind of thing with sexuality nowadays. It says here, "For sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts." See the like, shameful lusts. Lusts that are abnormal. Lusts that are from the sin code. Lusts that lead to destruction in relationships. Lusts that lead to addictions. lusts that bring about exploitations of people, of children, of each other. The Word of God goes on to say, even there women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. If you understand the concept in sexuality that there is clearly perversion, it's possible. Biologically and physiologically, the private parts of men and women were made for a reason. And like so many other things, the sin code and the deception that is here leads us to pervert the imago Dei, drive the train off the track, and so many people are out in the rocks, in the swamp, living literally in filthy mire. And so many don't know how to get out. I've seen people from, whether they're homosexual, dancers in clubs, others that have come out of deep, addictive, sexual centrific, you know, behavior. And there's only one way that brought them cleansing and freedom, and new life, and a new beginning. Jesus Christ. Behold, you know, all things are new. The old's passed away. Behold, all things become new. There might be somebody listening tonight, and I'd love to hear from many of you, wherever you're listening from, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. I think it's sad when people say, you know, that homosexuality is a genetic thing. Well, I agree that there is a predisposition from the sin code, that presence, that abnormal presence that gives a drive, a propensity for, well, for perverting everything that we once were in the original creation before the fall. The Word of God says in verse 28, therefore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over. Three times now He gave them over. There's a line in the sand, and at some point, as you or anyone that wants to say, you know, I don't want God, and you chuck God all of your life and live your own life as your own little God, there may come a time when God no longer speaks to you. God no longer draws you. The Word of God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. God has come to rescue you. Is your addictive and perverted sin more important to you than being forgiven, washed, cleansed, brought into dynamic relationship with God, having the Spirit of God come into you, giving you and depositing the gift of eternal life and the joy and the love of the living God? In verse 29, it goes on to this sin code spiral. Referring to the world as a whole, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. Some people say, well, I don't understand the world. Look how bad it is. Why doesn't everybody just get along? Sin code, fallenness, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so they become filled with every kind of wickedness, every kind of greed, every kind of evil, every kind of depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips and slanderers, God haters. You know any God-haters out there? He goes on to say, insolent, arrogant, boastful, they invent ways of doing evil. There might be some inventors out there. You've invented ways of doing evil. Disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And deep down within all of us, before I ever came to Christ, verse 32 was correct. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Now, the really weird thing, the very, very weird thing is this. In the 9 satanic statements, which I'm not going to read them all to you, or not even, you know, going to quote them totally, I'm going to mention 5 of them because, you know what, when I read the Satanic Bible years ago and then researched it and took a look at it and understood the background of Anton LaVey, I understood, you know what he was doing? He was literally writing about what the sin code is all about. The sin code is a internal, actual presence that predisposes us as fallen humanity to be at odds with God, at odds with God's way, and moving in the wrong direction in our thinking, in our behavior, in our spiritual worship. The sin code never wants you to worship God. The sin code leads you to worship any kind of spiritual alternative, deity, demon, whatever, anywhere. The sin code never leads anyone to worship God, never leads anybody to study the Word of God, never leads anybody to seek Christ and give praise to God. Because if you read Romans chapter 8, it tells you that the sin code, almost as if it's personified as a living presence within fallen man, is hostile to God. Hostile. Doesn't want to submit. Can't. The sin nature can't. But we haven't realized something. And a lot of believers that know your scripture, you got to connect this, as we did this week, with Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 is the scripture that reveals, well, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work. At work, a Greek word meaning a supernatural operative presence. He's at work in those who are, well, unsaved, disobedient. They have the sin code dwelling in them. Listen, if you're listening right now, and you say, well, listen, I'm not a believer in Christ, I've not accepted Him, and I'm a human being, and I'm going to live the way I want, and I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to just, you know what, I don't have to listen to anything, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Here's what the 9 satanic, out of the satanic Bible, here's what it says. Number 1, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. And I hear people say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm not, you know, if somebody tells me not to do something, I'm going to do it anyway. That's part of the sin code. That's part of that quest to say, you know what, I'm going to break every law there is. Statement number 2 in the Satanic Bible. Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. You know, no heaven, nothing else. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. Imagine, you know, nothing else. Just right, live for today. Live right now. You only go around once in life. Make it a Michelob, you know, world. Really? What do you do towards the end? What do you do when you're just tired of it all? What about the Satanic Bible's 5th satanic statement? Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. And I'm going to tell you, the sin code represents vengeance. The sin code represents indulgence instead of saying no to what's wrong. The sin code will never tell you not to do something that's wrong. The sin code is going to try to drive you to do and do it more and get deeper into it until you're addicted, until you're a slave. Some people can't get out of the sickness of sin that they are in. Outside of Jesus Christ, what psychology, what New Age principle, what philosophy is going to deliver you? Because the sin code, according to Ephesians chapter 2, is literally an open platform for spiritual influence from the prince of the power of the air. Military leaders, listen to me. Political leaders, listen to me. In your heart of hearts, what is the operating spiritual disposition? What's guiding you? Let me say this again. The wider a person opens their life to the sin code, doing more and more and more, the wider and broader the door for even extra supernatural influence to deepen it, broaden it. That's why, and if you're a student of the dark side of occultism, you're going to find that the left-hand path in occultism, you'll see this in John Dee. You'll see this in Aleister Crowley. You'll see this in the New Age movement. You'll see this in Hinduism, Tantra. You'll see this, that there is a, where there is spiritual deceit, spiritual lies, spiritual alternatives that are given by fallen finite spirits, there's a connection to sexual addiction, perversion, preoccupation. Did you know the dark side understands that sexual perversion darkens the construct of our lives? More sin and more sin and more sin darkens and darkens and brings kind of a solidity, concretistic mindset. I simply call it, you know, enslavement to sin. You know, the nine satanic statements, you know what they say? The nine satanic statements, and this is point seven, here's what it says. Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those who walk on all fours. And here this statement blames it on divine spiritual intellectual development. We're just an animal. A cow. A bull. A pig. Just an animal. Really? When Christ died on the cross, There is the ultra statement about how God values humanity. The value of your life, of human existence, is found at the foot of the cross. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son. There, in fulfillment to Isaiah 53, the crushing of the Savior, the substitute, that one that knew no sin became, listen, your sin, humanity's sin, was laid upon the sinless Lamb of God. See, some people don't know how to get out of the sin, out of the dysfunction, out of the degradation, out of the perversion, out of the addiction. They don't know how to get out of the pain and out of the depression and out of the suicidal thoughts that all this junk brings. They don't know how to get out of the vengeance. They just keep blowing people up, blowing more people up, raping more people, stealing from more people. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on and on until the sin code is broken. By the power of Jesus Christ. You see, his death on the cross is related to forgiveness of sin and the removal of guilt and the doors open to friendship with God. But it deals also with a spiritual power that comes inside of you that severs the power of the sin code and implants a brand new spiritual code of life. Again, study Romans chapter 8 and see that there are two sides. You're either living with a spiritual drive, a spiritual predisposition, a spiritual presence. It's either the sarx, the sin nature. You can read about that in Romans 8. Or it's the nature of God. The law of the spirit of life, zoe, Christ-like life, qualitative life. The law of the spirit of life, the life that comes out of heaven, Christ, has set me free, aorist tense in the Greek, permanently. 35 years ago, as Christ came into my life, he set me free from the sin code, put a new code into my life. I've opened my heart, I've opened my will, and it's the living Christ. There's power there for a total change in relationship with God, a relationship within, a relationship towards the future. The blood of Christ shed on the cross, the representation of God's love for you, but also of real, actual, spiritual transformation, power. It's called a new birth in Titus chapter 3. Take a read. I don't want to talk any more about any more of these satanic nine statements. I just want you to know that God loves you, that we're praying for you, and that if you've come to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, write to us so we can help you. ShatterXmail, SBCGlobal.net. Listen, my friends, this is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Join us this coming Sunday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in our two-hour program. Otherwise, maybe we'll see and engage you and be with you and fellowship with you Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, right after this hour, Steve Quayles, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, survivetothrive.net.